firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you?
Welcome to Through the Bible. Today we'll hear our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, tell us about the most sensitive piece of real estate on the planet. And at the time he recorded the study, he said a great many experts feel that a world war could be triggered at any time by what happens in the land of Israel. Well, today that's still true and will remain true until the final prophecies in Deuteronomy 27 and 28 are fulfilled. I'm Steve Schwartz, your host on this five-year journey through God's Word, and we'll get started in this exciting study in a few minutes. But first, I'll share a few letters from listeners in our world prayer country of the day, Romania. We're grateful for the good spiritual food that we receive daily from your program. In our village, there are others that listen to the program. We talk sometimes about what we have heard. Thank you for bringing us together like a church. Isn't that great? You know, God's Word is bringing people together in Romania. And then here's another letter of encouragement from that part of the world. Dear Through the Bible, I have great news. My daughter and my son-in-law have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I have given them a lot of information about the Bible. All of it is from your broadcasts. Now both of them have decided to be baptized. I am very glad and thankful to our Lord for the way He worked in my family. Also, I am thankful for your ministry. Because I am retired, I can go to different rural churches in my area to encourage them and motivate them to study the Bible. Many people ask me how I got the historical and theological information I know. I learned all that I know from listening to you. I share with them about this program and where on the radio to listen and encourage them to tune in for themselves. Thank you very much for this ministry. God bless you. Isn't that a wonderful letter? You should be encouraged. I know I am. World Prayer Team, by the way, God is answering our prayers, so keep it up. If you'd like to join our team as we travel on our knees around the world, then sign up today at ttb.org/pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the teaching of your word as it's planted in the hearts of all who are listening. As we hear you call the Israelites to obedience, help us to surrender our lives to you as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we've come to one of the most vital sections of the book of Deuteronomy, and it's another major section, by the way. We have come to that regards the future, and it has to do with not only the nation Israel, but it has to do with that land over there, regarding their future in the land. And that is the section we're in now, from chapter 27 through chapter 30. And this is a very vital section. In it we have the so-called Palestinian covenant that God made with the nation Israel. And this is what we'll be looking at when we get to the 30th chapter. Now, those of you that have my notes, note that I give the 29th chapter and the 30th chapter down through verse 10 as the Palestinian covenant. And you will find that others give all of chapter 29 and 30. The fact of the matter is, Dr. Lewis Sperry Chafer, formerly president of Dallas Seminary, gives chapters 28 through 30, and I think that the Scofield Reference Bible gives the 29th chapter as the introduction to the Palestinian covenant, and then the 30th chapter down through verse 10 as the covenant itself. Now, I think that since we've entered this section here, and we'll be here, I'm sure, a couple of days, probably, first of all, that we ought to say something about a covenant. That word has already occurred several times, and there are different kinds of covenants. You'll find out that men make covenants, that is, individuals, one with another. They are mentioned in the Bible. Then there are nations that make covenants, and some of them are mentioned in the Bible. Then there are covenants which God made with his people in the Old Testament and made with humanity. At the very beginning, you have what is known as the Adamic covenant. You have the Noahic covenant. You have the Abrahamic covenant. You have the Mosaic covenant. And now we've come to the Palestinian covenant. Now, these covenants that God makes are divided into two different classifications, conditional covenants and the other unconditional covenants, or else we might say eternal covenants are temporary covenants. A temporary covenant is a conditional covenant, and then an eternal covenant or permanent covenant is one that's unconditional. And it's well to be able to distinguish between the two. Now, we find that God made a covenant with Abraham. That's one of the unconditional covenants. God made a covenant with Moses, the Ten Commandments. They were conditional. And then God made this Palestinian covenant, and it's unconditional. And we'll be looking at that as we come to it, actually, in the 30th chapter. Now, all of this has to do with the future, and you understand that these people now are on the east bank of the Jordan River. They're preparing to enter the land. A new generation is there. The old generation will not enter. In fact, they are all dead, with one exception, and that is Moses. And Moses will not enter into the land. We'll see that this book closes with a requiem to Moses. He dies, but he doesn't enter the land, but the people enter under a new leader. And this particular section has to do with their future in the land. And you have here probably some of the most remarkable prophecies that we have in the entire Word of God. And you have here, beginning with chapter 27, and let me begin reading here. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, "Keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster. Thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee." Now, they were told that when they crossed over into the land, the Ten Commandments would be put around everywhere. Now, their tenure in the land, their dwelling there, would be determined by their obedience to God. That was a conditional arrangement. But the land was given to them under no conditions whatsoever. God gave it to them, and we'll see an unconditional covenant, and they're yet to come back to that land. This is something that's very important to see in this section here. Now he says in verse 4, "Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer peace offerings. Thou shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly." Now, they are to enter the land on this condition, you see. "And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke unto all Israel, saying, Take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day. Thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Now, notice this. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye come over Jordan." And he mentions the tribes that will do the blessing. They'll go here on Mount Gerizim. And then those that are to have the curses, they go over to Mount Ebal. Now, if you've ever been in that land, it's right in that area where the Samaritan woman was at the well. That well is there. And also Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim are there today. And it's in Arab hands, although it's presently helped by the nation Israel. But that's an Arab area entirely, even to this day. And they were to put on one mountain, that is Gerizim, the blessings, and on Mount Ebal the curses. Now you have the curses given. In other words, they go into the land, their tenure there is on a condition. They are, just shall I say, tenants, and they're to pay a rent. That is, that rent is obedience unto God. But actually, they're more than tenants. God's given them a land as an eternal possession. And when a generation will not obey God, they'll be put out of the land. But the land will remain theirs. That's the reason that that piece of real estate is the most sensitive spot on top side of this globe today. And it's the belief of a great many that right now a world war could be triggered by what takes place in that land. And certainly that is true. Now, you have here 12 curses given, and I'm not going into detail here about them. Verse 15, "Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image." And now, you see, this has to do with the Ten Commandments. And then verse 16, "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father, his mother." And then you come down to chapter 28, and I'm not going through, by the way, all these 12 curses that are here. They all relate to the Ten Commandments. Now will you notice chapter 28, and I'm reading now, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Now their blessing in the land was determined by their obedience unto God. You notice that here, this great big "if." He started out by saying to them here at the beginning, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently." And that's a great big if. This is a conditional part of the covenant that they are going to be blessed only as they obey God. Then you have the blessings given here. "Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Blessed shall be thy basket. Blessed shall be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." Now, as you read this here, you say, well, look, there are 12 curses pronounced, but only about 5 blessings. What goes here? Well, I think that you have about 6 blessings, by the way, that are mentioned here, but that's only half of the curses that are mentioned. And you say, what goes here? Well, do you want to pick up the rest of the blessings? When our Lord stood on the mount and gave the so-called Sermon on the Mount, he was standing on the mountain, and how did he begin it? "Blessed is the man." So you have the rest of the Beatitudes there. Our Lord, when he gave those and began that message like that, it made the instructed Israelite listen. He was hearing the blessings that would come to them even after their long checkered history of when they'd even been into captivity at that time already twice. And they were yet to go into captivity, be scattered throughout the earth again at that particular time. Now you have here he comes back and mentions these curses, and it all rests upon this matter of an if. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Notice again, verse 15, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. If. This is the conditional part on which they're to enter the land. Then we have here one of the most remarkable passages of Scripture. It gives their history pre-written in the land. Now, what you have here, that there are three prophecies that concern these people, that they're to be regathered and brought back into that land. They will be restored three times, and they are to be dispossessed three times. Now, let me call your attention to that fact. You have a reference to this first, I guess it's back in about the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, where God says that to Abraham that your offspring, they're going down into Egypt. And they went down into Egypt for 430 years. But that they would come out of that. They would return from that land and come into the land. And we're following him here in that. Now, that part has been fulfilled. They were to be put out of the land. They were returned to the land. We are seeing that here in Deuteronomy. They're ready now to enter. And when we go into the book of Joshua, we'll see them enter the land, and we'll see them settled in the land in the book of Judges. Now, that is something that has been literally fulfilled. Then you have the second time that they're to be put out of the land, and we have that mentioned here. We are told, and I'll drop down now here in chapter 28. This is a very remarkable chapter. Verse 36 says, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Now, that was the Babylonian captivity. It is a matter of record, a matter of history. We have the record. We'll see it a little later on, and we'll see there the fact they were carried into captivity, and Jeremiah prophesied concerning it. He had a great deal to say about it. We find that the historical record is given in both Kings and Chronicles that they went into Babylonian captivity. Fact of the matter is that Zedekiah, the last king, his eyes were put out. Children were slain before him, then his eyes were put out. Listen to verse 32 here, which describes that. And all of this is prophecy, you must remember. It says, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. And he was helplessly carried into Babylonian captivity blind. How literally it was fulfilled. Why? Because of their disobedience. God says you go into the land. If you obey, you'll be blessed. If you do not obey, you'll be put out of that land. Now, the book of Ezra and Nehemiah and Daniel have to do with their return. That is, with their experience in the Babylonian captivity, and then their return. And then the prophets Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi tell of their return back to that land. So that this is the second prophecy concerning their being driven out of the land because of disobedience, but that they would return. Now, that has been literally fulfilled. Then the third one, and that has to do with Rome. And notice how it is described here prophetically. Verse 48. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. And I have a set of books right up above me here in my study. It's two volumes of Flavius Josephus. He tells about the coming of the Romans, first unto Titus. They put the yoke of iron. Rome's known as the Iron Kingdom. And also, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth. They came all the way from the west, you know. As swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. You see, that was a language that was not an Oriental language at all. Today, our English is based on the Latin and the European languages, but the nation Israel was a language that had to do with Asia and with Africa, and it was altogether different. And God says they'll speak a tongue that we won't understand it, but they had on their standards the eagle. And I'm of the opinion that many an instructed Israelite, when they looked over the battlements of the walls and saw the standards of Titus there with the eagles on it, they said, this is it. Now it says in verse 52, he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. And in these two volumes I've referred to up above me here of Josephus, it tells about how mothers were forced to give up their babies, and they were eaten. The flesh of babies were eaten, and people died, and the corpse collected inside the city, and they had to throw them over the wall. May I say to you that this is the thing that was literally fulfilled. Now they were scattered throughout the world. The interesting thing is, they've never returned from that captivity. That has not yet been fulfilled. There are three prophecies of dispossessions. There are three prophecies that they will return. They have returned twice. They have not returned the third time. Now, here you have six prophecies, five of them literally fulfilled. What do you think about the sixth one? Well, I don't know what you think. I'll tell you what I think. I think it'll be literally fulfilled. It's yet to come in the future. And we are given that here because their continued disobedience, which now has been over a long period of time, that God deals with that here. And you'll find that he will bring upon them certain diseases. I don't want to go into that because this is something that is rather personal and has to do with a race, and certainly they've been characterized by certain diseases. Now, verse 63, shall come to pass as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. In other words, God says, I'll take you out of that land. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes, sorrow of mind, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. May I say, this has been literally fulfilled, friends. In fact, right now, one group of people that are in grave danger are these people. Prophecy being literally fulfilled. Now we go into the 29th and 30th chapter next time and see this great Palestinian covenant. Be with us for this. This is an important section of Scripture.
To spend more time studying the prophecies of Deuteronomy, you may want to pick up Dr. McGee's paperback commentary on Deuteronomy, available this month at a special price. Or, for an in-depth look at the Bible prophecies from Genesis to Revelation, pick up the paperback book, J. Vernon McGee on Prophecy. You'll find both of these resources in our online store at ttb.org. And remember, you can always place your order by calling us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And don't forget, to help you get the most out of each study, we offer Dr. McGee's Notes and Outlines for free. Download your copy today at ttb.org/notes. Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and request to be placed on our newsletter subscription list that includes the notes and outlines. Now, tomorrow, we'll learn about one of the most remarkable prophecies in Scripture. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you here as we continue our journey through the Bible.
To be my own, sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.